as we approach the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy, a new book dives deep into the city where the murder took place. Dallas 1963 explores the swirling forces of right-wing fanaticism at work in the city during the 3 years leading up to JFK's assassination. By this account, Dallas in the early 60s was a stew of super patriotism, fueled by anti-communist paranoia, fierce racism, and anti-Semitism. Longtime Texas journalist Bill Minutaglio wrote the book with Stephen L. Davis, and he joins me now. Welcome to the program, Bill.
It's great to be here.
I want to ask you about your description of Dallas in the early 60s. You call it the most promising right-wing citadel in America. It's a city of hate. So describe the fury and the strength of the far right wing and what drove them at the time.
It was an amazing confederacy. People were lured to Dallas. They were marching to Dallas. There was just this rising sense of anger and distrust toward Kennedy, toward perceived socialism, religion. People feared him as a Catholic. And I found that Dallas became really one of the most singular cities on planet Earth. Really powerful people coalesced around this notion that Kennedy was a traitor and, in fact, was guilty of treason. And these weren't just folks who, you know, were idly thinking these thoughts. They were acting on them and forming organizations and movements to essentially overthrow Kennedy.
And these were not people outside the mainstream. These were many of the rich and powerful characters in Dallas who were behind this movement, right?
These were the city fathers from every perspective, the leading preachers in town, the leading businessmen, the leading elected officials, the people who held the microphones, in a sense, on broadcasts and in print media. So it was folks who lived above the cloud line who really were the citizen kings of the city.
One of the other themes that runs through the book is that a lot of what's fueling this right-wing anger is deep and ardent segregationism.
The backstory of Dallas was the fact that Dallas remained the largest American city to yet integrate its public schools. And what welled up in the story was this unbelievable sense of unease and distrust, and yet some really heroic elements. There are figures in our book who really worked against these powerful citizen kings, were brave enough to invite Dr. Martin Luther King to the city, emblematic of the sense of hatred and distrust in the city. There was a bomb threat lodged against King, who came to speak in Dallas just a few months before Kennedy got there.
Well, all of this anger does turn on John Kennedy in the 1960 presidential campaign. Into this climate comes JFK's running mate, Texas Senator Lyndon Johnson, in November of 1960. It's 4 days before the election, and he's brought his wife, Lady Bird. So they come to Dallas, and Bill Minutaglia, why don't you talk about what happens to them when they get there?
It was an amazing scene and one that's been exiled to the corners of history. It's really something we need to be mindful of. LBJ and Lady Bird Johnson were attacked by a mob of Dallas's leading citizens during a campaign stop in downtown Dallas. And then in the lobbies of the two finest hotels in Dallas, they were attacked with signs, people swinging signs at them. They were spitting at them. People were pulling hat pins out of their hats and trying to stab people. It became known as the Mink Coat Mob Riot. And LBJ, a master of political theater, realized in the middle of this melee that the cameras were rolling. And he nobly said, you know, I'm going to push through the crowd, knowing full well that it would look really good on TV later that night. And some historians say that folks then voted for LBJ and Kennedy in sympathy, and that put them both in the White House, the very thing that people in Dallas, some people in Dallas in this Mink Coat mob, the finest citizens in the city, did not want to have happen.
When you look at images of this Mink Coat mob, as you describe it, surrounding LBJ and Lady Bird, what does it look like? What does this crowd look like?
It's those scary moments when you see a face coiled in rage. You see in the background behind him these faces twisted in anger and hate. And then, again, almost the unlikely nature. You look at the full frame, and these are people who are dressed literally in mink coats and suits, ties. They're people taking a break, you know, for lunch during their business endeavors. And it really looks like society unhinged. Just something's gone horribly, horribly awry in Dallas.
Well, all of this is still seething in Dallas by November 22nd, 1963, when JFK arrives in Dallas, and the cover of your book shows a flyer that had been printed up that was plastered all over Dallas, 5,000 of them. It looks like a wanted poster, and there are photos of JFK. It says, wanted for treason.
It's so emblematic of the outrage that people felt toward Kennedy in Dallas, emanating from Dallas. Dallas had just simply become, in an almost initially unlikely way, the headquarters of the anti-Kennedy, let's overthrow Kennedy movement. He was perceived to be a traitor, that he was a socialist. He was on bended knee to so many different entities, socialism, communism, and even the Pope. Dallas happened to have among the largest Baptist congregations in America, and a really, really powerful preacher there felt that if Kennedy was elected president, then the Pope would essentially be running things in the United States. And he preached that. This was an extremely influential preacher in the city.
How fearful was JFK and the people around him about this visit to Dallas in November 63?
JFK and his advisors were very concerned. They were doing very good reconnaissance. They knew that, as an example, going into Dallas, they were going to be on home turf of the local newspaper publisher, a man named Ted Dealey of the Dallas Morning News, who a few years earlier had flown to the White House to directly confront President Kennedy on his home turf, essentially jabbing his finger in the chest of the president and telling him, you're just like a quote, little girl, you're just like your daughter Carolyn riding a tricycle, you're weak-willed. Kennedy told Jacqueline, you know, en route to Dallas, he said, you know, be prepared, we're headed into nut country. And it was almost his jocular way of saying, be wary, be careful, be mindful of the fact that we've been warned about Dallas, that it is the bastion of resistance to us, what we stand for in America.
Bill, what do you make of the fact that in the end, JFK is assassinated in Dallas, not at the hands of a right-wing extremist, which is what they were fearing, but a self-described Marxist who had defected to the Soviet Union before coming to Texas, Lee Harvey Oswald?
Oswald was living in this hothouse environment, this overheated, increasingly vitriolic environment. And most people who have studied Oswald have suggested that he was somewhat of a malleable figure and an impressionable figure and someone who wanted to make a statement. I believe now that as we look at him, he had to have been shaped by this almost civic hysteria in Dallas. And it was just perfect for someone like Lee Harvey Oswald to well up and become, as he perceived himself, an agent of change.
After JFK is assassinated in Dallas in 1963, how did the city deal with the shame that came from that, that this was where the president was shot?
The assassination is in the marrow. It's in the DNA of the city. It's never gone away. It's also a little bit like smoke. It's hard to wrap your hands around. It's just, it's there with you. And as people traveled from Dallas in the weeks and months and even years after the assassination, many of them were vilified. Many people took to lying and saying, when asked, you know, where are you from? They'd say, we were from Houston or another state. You know, a few years ago, I was traveling in Moscow and met some people there. I just met them on an elevator. We had a conversation and I said, I'm from Dallas, Texas. And the people on the elevator with me raised their fingers up in the form of a gun, their index finger and thumb pointed out, and then fired that, you know, mock firing a gun. And they said, Kennedy, Kennedy, Kennedy. And that was many, many years after it had happened, you know, far across the globe, far away from Dallas. So I think it still haunts the city in some way.
That's Bill Minutaglio. He's co-author, along with Stephen L. Davis, of the book Dallas 1963. Bill, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
All Things Considered continues in a moment.